Yes, indeed, and we are very much enjoying entering into this communion of light with you, and we are finding ourselves quite pleased and quite honored to be connecting with you in all of the ways that we are doing so here today. And as we enter into this conversation, we do invite you to think about what it is that you're wanting as a result of being here today. And as you think about this and you find the feeling place, that place where the thing that you're wanting, the experience that you're wanting has already occurred, we invite you to feel that and to amplify it and to know that what you're wanting is now here, done and complete. And we know that law of attraction, that single organizing principle of the universe, is now sorting out and arranging every aspect of what you're wanting according to what you are a vibrational match to. So as you bring your attention to the vibration, the feeling of what you're wanting, you're becoming a match to that very thing right now, right here. Now, before we begin with our conversations today, we do want to bring up some attention to a particular subject, and that has to do with the difference between desire and allowing. Now, whenever it is that you are asking for anything, immediately you are given it. Now, we say it as though an outside agency is giving it to you. And that is a way of thinking about it, and it certainly is a way of looking at it, but what is really happening is you imagine something and immediately it manifests into some form. But the form, for the most part, in most instances, is not physically recognizable. You ask for something and it comes to you and it is in your vibrational warehouse, your vibrational escrow, your vibrational reality. Sometimes for a moment before it enters your physical reality, and sometimes it never enters your physical reality, but it is always there as a distinct possibility of a physical experience. What it takes for something to come into physical reality is your alignment with it, and that is all. When you are thinking about what you are wanting, you're having a desire for it. Sometimes the path of least resistance to get you to where you have the thing is to continue on the path of the desire and to feel that strongly. And sometimes all that is required is to step back and allow it to happen. But there's always a mixture of the two. So just like in an engine that has fuel and oxygen, the oxygen is needed for the fuel to burn, but the oxygen without the fuel is pretty useless. And the fuel without the oxygen is pretty useless. You have to have some combination of desire and allowing. The important thing to realize is that you came here into this physical reality as a fully formed being of light. You're not here to learn how to do anything. You're here for the fun of it, for the experience of it, for what it is that feels like an expanding place. Now, you may learn things along the way. There may be constructs that you put together where you say, well, this is what I'm wanting more of. But you didn't come here to learn how to manifest anything. Remember that every single thing that you have, every single experience that you have, is a manifested reality. It's something that you called forth. This entire physical reality is your creation. So when we talk about intentional creation, what we're saying is this is you lining up with the fact that you are a creator, and it's a fact. It's not a supposition. It's not a theory. It's not an idea that just is a really nice idea and wouldn't be nice to think about. It's something that is quite real. You are a powerful, powerful creator. Now, when we say this, again, we're not saying it to pat you on the head and say, aren't you a nice person? We're telling you who you are. You are a powerful creator. There is no doubt about that. You could not be here if that were not the case. So, here in this physical reality, where you have identified yourself as your body and you have identified yourself by as the person that you know by the name that you go by, you are not here necessarily to figure out how to do this or how to do that. It doesn't mean that you won't be doing that, but what we mean is that you're not here in order to learn how to get better at something that you are already quite perfect at doing. All you're doing here is easing into a greater awareness of something that is already present and doing so intentionally because that is your desire. Not everyone, in fact, we would say most people, are not interested in understanding how they themselves are the creator of their reality. But for whatever reason, you are, and that is a very good thing indeed. It would be a perfectly fine thing if you were not, but it is a wonderful thing that you are. And so, the reason why we bring this to your attention is because there is some conversation about the difference between desire and allowing, and we really do want to kind of set the record straight, and that is that it's not one over the other. They're both simultaneously part of the manifestation experience. And if you pay attention to the things that you manifest pretty easily, you can see that it's a mix, and it has to do with where you are in vibrational relationship to that specific topic. Now, having laid all of this out, we are now ready to bring up our first question, and we're very much looking forward to all of the delicious questions that we know are coming here into the conversation today.
That distinction between desire and allowing and that combination really resonates. I was easily able to find a new apartment that I'll be moving into at the end of the month, and it's actually down the hall from where I live. And I thought that was quite remarkable, and it was a price I could definitely work with. And it went so easily. And the but was that I started questioning a bit and then decided I was just going to go with it and be excited about it, and I am excited about it. And to me, it sort of represents what you were talking about. It was the desire and the allowing and to have things be easy. And it got me to thinking, as I trust my intuition, because there was a nudge I had to go to the management office to see if there was an available apartment. And so in trusting that, it was like the magic happened. It was like hours later, it was going to get higher in rent, blah, blah. And so I'd like to explore a little bit more my desire to listen to my my intuition or my inner knowing, and allowing myself to hear it more and more frequently.
Well, you're there already, and what we would say is that this is the thing. In other words, you can treat this like it's Christmas morning or it's a birthday present, or it's a surprise gift brought to you by a friend that you haven't seen in a long time. Or you can treat it like it's just the next thing that happens.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. But we think that what you're really looking for is not so much a special moment that just comes out of nowhere, but rather the fact that it is constant, consistent, persistent, always present, never failing, always there. And the key to your intuition is the thought that feels better.
Yes. Okay.
That's what you did, is you followed the thought that felt better. Now, the thing is that how that interprets is very, very, very specific. Remember that this is not about a third-party agency coming in, swooping down with a magic wand and changing your life for you.
Yeah.
You are the creator of your reality. There's just no other way of putting it. You're not the victim of your reality. You're not the bystander of your reality. You are the creator of your reality. You have created all of it, every last bit and piece of it. Now, we understand there are things you like, there are things you don't like, and that's fine. But it doesn't change the fact that you are the creator of your reality. So when we say that, we're not saying, "Aren't you a nice person?" patting you on the head and dismissing you. What we're saying is that your intuition is not. Now, you can think of it however you want to think about it, but we would suggest that you not look at your intuition as some sort of guide through a maze, saying, "Okay, turn left here, turn right there, go straight here, turn around now, go up, go down, go around." But rather, your intuition is just your guide to the things that you've already created. Remember, the landlord is you, the apartments are you, the house that you live in is you. They're all extensions of who you are. So what intuition is your awareness of what you created yourself. And this is, look, we understand this is kind of a stretch, that you may never have even heard these things before. No one may have ever said them before. That it's quite possible that this is the first time that you have created a reality in which someone is saying to you, "Look, you're the one who's doing all of this, and your intuition is nothing but just your awareness of what you created." That's literally what it is.
Wow.
The reason why the thought that feels better is the guide and the key to all of this is because if you realize who you are an extension of source energy, you are a being of light, you are God made manifest, that's who you are. So your unconditional love flowing into a physical reality of your own creation. However, there's a contradiction here, there's a paradox, and that is that the physical world is designed to be limited. It's designed to be narrow and focused. And so you've got unconditional love flowing into a narrow focus that has lots and lots and lots of conditionality built into it. But remember, you were taught that conditionality. It's not something that comes to you naturally. So the reality that you're creating also includes precluding you from understanding who you really are. You intentionally are hiding your light under a bushel. You're very specifically doing that because you didn't come here for the oneness of it all. You came here for the narrowness of it. You came here for the separation, for the idea that you're separate and apart, that you are a piece of source energy, not source energy itself, which is who you really are. So in so doing, because you created that in that way, it does seem like your intuition would be a voice that guides you through a maze that somehow or another just has arisen without you really specifically creating it. It's just there. It's as though you woke up one morning and you realized, "Wait a second, I'm in a maze."
Yeah.
So and look, you can do this however you want to. You can really do this however you want to. But your intuition is, as we say, it's not thoughts received from a third party. It's you talking to you.
Yes, and the more that I listen to those thoughts talking to me, the more magical, easy, fun my life proceeds.
Indeed. Because what you're doing is you're lining up with you. Part of the reason that we said this earlier when we were doing our little introduction, part of the reason why you have decided that you want to be conscious of the fact that you are creating your reality, to the extent that you want to be conscious about it, by the way. Part of the reason that you have decided to do this is because it's one of the fastest ways to really plug into the truth of who you are. And that truth is a joyful truth. It is not a, well, let's set you down and give you the bad news kind of truth.
Yeah.
It's a joyful, endlessly fascinating, endlessly connected truth. So we invite you to realize that your intuition is just that. Look, you're walking through, you're literally walking through your own creation. It's like a painting that you're walking through.
Yes.
But, and you've got the raw materials, which of course is just an endless supply of anything. And how you form them is based upon your desire. How you actually bring them forth into reality is your, that's how you interpret things. Now, a lot of what you know, you gleaned from other people. And most of the things that you know now are things that you learned within the first year or two of your life. And you got them not from books, obviously, from books, being that you couldn't read, and you didn't get them from listening to ghosts talking to you because that didn't really mean anything. You got it from paying attention to the people around you. And they showed you vibrationally how to do this, 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 and this. And they were demonstrating it to you vibrationally, and you were picking it up and you were interpreting it. Now, you could have stayed conscious that entire time of what you were doing, but that's actually part of the journey here was, and it's not a requirement, it's just what you did, is you forgot who you were.
Mm-hmm.
So you're now remembering who you are. And as we said, it's the truth of who you are is a constant source of joy. It's a constant source of expansion and deliciousness and delight. And so it's not a hard truth. It's not a, you've got to deal with this kind of horrible thing that has happened. You were born. We're sorry to report to you, but you were, that your birth has occurred, and now you're doomed for the next several years.
Yeah.
It's not that kind of a truth. Although that's really what your culture does with your birth, is that it's an unfortunate thing that you got here because man was born to sorrow, as the saying goes.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not the case whatsoever. You came here for the joy of it. And in a way, what you're doing is you're awakening from the mass, how shall we say, confusion, chaos, the mass idea that things are somehow or another impossible. And it's a really wonderful thing, isn't it? It's a really wonderful thing to realize you're connected to you. You're connected to this infinite intelligence, which is you. You're the infinite intelligence. It's not somebody outside of you. It's not something outside of you. And this whole conversation about your intuition and law of attraction, that's just literally how you think your thoughts. That's how it works. So your intuition applied to something that seems as mundane, although it's hardly mundane at all, as where you're going to live for the next period of time. Well, it worked out beautifully, didn't it?
Yes.
And it's just the norm. It's just the norm. It's exactly what it is that you called forth. It's exactly the thing that you were wanting. Do you understand all of this?
I do. I do. Thank you.
Indeed, and we thank you very much for your very, very delicious question.
That was very helpful. Also, my question has to do with the way you started the conversation about desire versus allowing. I guess I sort of wanted to know, relative to something that happened to me yesterday, how you decide the balance, because normally I think I'm allowing as opposed to strong desire. I mean, I have strong desire, but I think the allowing is the side that I usually fall down on in that equation. In terms of being on the scale, it's the side that I'm mostly on. And I wondered whether it just sort of naturally happens in terms of, is it something you actually decide, or is it something that you attract a manifestation that would ramp up desire?
Well, it's not a manifestation that ramps up desire. It's a thought that ramps up desire. But but when you say manifestation, what you really mean is the thought that you think about the manifestation that you have. But there are certainly people who, in this conversation, who remember what a choke is. And it's a little bit like a choke. In other words, you push it in to restrict the flow of fuel, and you pull it out in order to enhance the flow of fuel. So if you think of fuel as being the desire and oxygen as being the allowing, you've got to have both. You have to have both. The thing is that we wouldn't suggest that you necessarily make a study of it unless something about that felt very liberating and very opening. In other words, oh, this is that thing that this is that missing component that I've been looking for, and I had no idea it was there. The reason why we say that is because look at all of the things that you create, and you do it through a mixture, a very nice, heady mixture of allowing and desire. Again, getting back to our ubiquitous peanut butter sandwich. You're not taking a workshop on how much desire do I need in order to have a peanut butter sandwich. You have decided that you can have it. And that's really probably the thing that's the most important to realize, is that it's your decision to have it, which is neither desire nor allowing, but both. It's your decision to have it that's actually the thing.
Right.
So when we talk about it, what we're saying is, it's a little bit of a seesaw, this desire versus allowing thing. And to get off the seesaw, just decide you can have it and move on. Now, it's fine and good for us sitting outside a physical reality to say, yeah, just decide to have it and be good. It's all fine. Everything's good. Don't worry about it. Because you're still in the midst, in the mixture of all of that you've been creating. And a lot of what you've been creating has been confusion. And so, which is fine, because that's what everybody else is doing, and that's fine. Because that confusion has actually given birth to massive, powerful desires for clarity. But that's the thing. So let's focus in on that. One of the things that we were having a conversation with Frank about the other day was that it's okay to let your rockets of desire launch. And he said to us, well, but what about that whole thing that you say to us all the time about, it's okay that I feel this and it's okay that I feel that. It feels like I've been saying that for years and years and years, and all it's really done is I've just been tamping down my desire. And we said, no, no, no. It would be nice if there was another word in the language, that there was the okay of one kind and the okay of another. In other words, there's the okay where you say, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay, I'm going to deal with this, I'm going to deal with this, I'm going to deal with this, oh my God, this is horrible, but I'm going to deal with it, and it's okay, and I'm going to be fine, and everything's going to be okay, but I'm petrified and terrified, and you're not really dealing with that.
Right.
You're not really allowing yourself to have the powerful experience that's coming. But it's different than when you turn to it and you say, it's okay that I'm terrified. It's okay that I'm afraid. It's okay that this seems like it's pretty awful, and I want it to be better. It's okay that it's boring. It's okay that it's this. It's okay that it's that. As a way to disentangle from the fear, as opposed to snuffing out the fear, which never, you can't snuff it out. You can't kill it. because it's a living thing that is that evolves. You cannot kill it. So all that you're doing is smothering it or hiding it or storing it away in some place where it's dark and you can't see it. But when you turn to something, you say, look, this is where I am. It's that when you are conscious of the rocket of desire as it's being launched, that's the thing that we think for you quite specifically would be really helpful. I do want this. I really do. And if you're really conscious of it at the time that it happens, it kind of isn't a question anymore. I do want this, and I'm completely aligned with having it. I do. It's that sort of thing that we like to say, if you're really aware of it, you'll smell the rocket fuel. You'll be able to tell something has happened because you can feel it. You can feel the shift that has happened because of the vibrational effect of having launched the desire.
So it's my
yes,
not...
Yes, as you say. Oh, please.
No, as I say, so it's my not... facing it at the moment that I've launched the desire and saying, yes, this is what I want, that is actually keeping me from the allowing.
Well, what happens is that when you have a powerful, powerful contrasting situation and you try to manage it, that's not allowing, right?
Right.
But if you're just there, right there, your own personal Cape Canaveral, and you're just whoosh, 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 and you can just feel it, and it's happening, and you're thinking, yes, this is going to be great, this is going to be amazing, that's allowing.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, if you were there, if you're right there at the launch pad when all the rockets are shooting off, and you're just admiring them, and you're feeling them, and you're just having a field day with that, that's both desire and allowing simultaneously, isn't it? It's happening at the same time. Because
right. And
you're
what I was,
having, please.
No, I was going to say, what I was feeling was a sort of niggling feeling of powerlessness that's just increased over since yesterday. And you know, I know intellectually that I am the creator of my own reality, and that the conversation, the person who was here, it's all me, it's all whatever. But it just doesn't feel right now like I'm have that kind of control.
Well, but look at the way that you're phrasing everything. Look at the way that you're thinking about it. Right now, you're not allowing yourself to feel the powerlessness, for one thing.
Right.
Because of what
right.
you're afraid it might mean. And the second thing is, and it's not that you necessarily need to do that, but the second thing is that by not allowing yourself to feel the powerlessness, what's happening is you're tamping down the power. Because powerlessness is just the unwanted end of a stick. That's all that it is. And by trying to manage the unwanted end, you're really depriving yourself of the stick itself, of what's at the very juicy end of the stick. So when you're feeling powerlessness, instead of trying to sort it out and trying to manage it, and saying, I'm not powerless, I'm not powerless, I'm not powerless, I'm not powerless, I'm not, I'm not, I'm not. That might get you there. But the thing that really is happening right at the heart of when that thought occurs, right there, that's where the powerful rocket of desire gets launched for empowerment, which is probably the word we're looking for here. And in that very specific situation, now you're saying powerlessness, which is a really broad brush. What you meant in that very specific situation was something very specific with that person in that way, correct? And it
yes.
was it's something very, very specific. So the rocket of desire that you launched was not a, didn't have just the word empowerment written on the side. It actually has like a mosaic that's a pretty complex mosaic.
Yes.
And it's very specific, and it's very specific to you, and which is perfect, exactly right. And so when the rocket launches, if you just step back and admire it, And that might seem like the really strangest word you can think of, particularly when you're in a very thorny situation. But if you can find a way to appreciate, to admire what you're creating, that whole situation will turn on a dime. You do this all the time, you know. You do this
yes.
all of the time. And one of the ways in which you do it is when you're hungry. In fact, we could say when you're hungry or when you need to go to the bathroom, it's another time that you do this. When you have a powerful physical sensation that is saying, do this, do this, do this, do this, and then you actually allow it to happen. For instance, you're hungry, so you eat. It seems like that's not that big of a deal because you're hungry, you eat, or you're hungry and you don't eat because you're thinking, well, I'm not supposed to eat because I'm hungry for whatever reason. But when you really allow yourself to have the experience, that was a rocket of desire that got launched that then you allowed to come forth into manifestation. And it really is that simple. You decide you want something, and then you decide that you can have it. You decide you want empowerment in this very mosaic-like way, and then you decide that you can have it. And it comes to you. Now, you understand very well that if what you do is you spend all of your time looking for evidence of how you don't have it, law of attraction will just continue to bring you that evidence because that's the way your thoughts work.
Right.
But in a way, what we're talking about here is when we're literally talking about standing on the very edge of your leading edge experience and just marveling at what you're creating, watching yourself actually create something and seeing it and celebrating it and rejoicing in it, even when it's coming out of something that doesn't feel good. We could say, particularly when it's coming out of something that doesn't feel good. It's such a delicious thing, isn't it, to be right there on the edge of the experience and watch it happen, feel it happen, experience it, and have the really powerful, powerful thoughts that say, I can have this thing that I'm wanting. I can feel empowered. And it's not just situational. It's not just with this one person. It's with everything, everyone, all the time. This is now going to really evolve into something spectacular. Do you understand all of this?
I do, and it feels really good.
Very good. Very good. And we thank you very much for your very, very delicious question.
This week is a big week for me. I am going, wrapping some things up with a separation agreement and hopefully getting some new news about a new place to live. And I'm extremely calm about it. And I feel like I'm in the state of allowing. And I guess I just have some things creep up that say, you're not doing enough, this is too easy. But kind of in my heart, I know that this is the way I want to live my life, calm and allowing. So I just wanted your feedback on why am I so calm, and I think I'm just on the right track.
Well, you are, aren't you?
I think
in other
so.
Words, well, the question for us would be, why would you say you're not? Now, don't answer that question.
Okay.
Because we really don't want to go in that direction, but you understand why we're saying that. In other words, maybe what you're really talking about here, in fact, we'd say this is exactly what we're talking about here, is why you're suspicious of things going well. There are some people who really do believe that if they pay too much attention to things going well, that they'll somehow or another break the spell. That since life really is a mixture of good and bad, so to speak, according to worthy sources, that if you pay too much attention to how well things are going, then essentially you'll make the part of your life where bad things happen jealous, and it'll try to rear its ugly head and take over,
mm-hmm.
something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we just want to say, look, revel, bask, take advantage of this opportunity. You're really in alignment with what you're wanting. You're feeling it. You can feel. What we really love is that you've got the positive contrast, that you can tell the difference between where you are now and where you were before, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can feel how much better it is than it was before. Bask in that, revel in it, really notice it, point it out to yourself over and over and over again. Things are just getting better and better. This is normal. This is exactly right. This is exactly where I want to be. This is exactly what I was calling forth. This is exactly what I was summoning. This is exactly what I wanted.
Okay.
Keep just basking in it, 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 and continue. But see, the thing is that we haven't really talked about is why you're here. And the reason why you're here is because you changed your mind about what you were expecting. And so now your manifested reality is beginning to match in very powerful ways what it is that you've been lining up with and saying, I can have this. I can have this. I can have this expanded version of me. I can have this experience that goes really, really, really well. And it's happening not because something random has occurred. It's happening because I lined myself up with it.
Okay.
I decided this is the way it was going to be. Correct?
Yep. Yes.
So, you're there.
Okay. It's a nice way to live. It's just good. I don't even know really what the question is. I just guess I wanted confirmation that this is the way life can be, the easy component, the calmness.
Indeed.
Okay.
Well, you wanted to have a very cool life, didn't you? And now you've got it.
Yeah.
So that's a really, really good thing. And we also want to say, contrast is everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
It comes up all the time. What you do with it is up to you, and what you're doing with it right now is you're letting it show you how much better things are. Not only how much better things are, but how much better they can be.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really good. It's really, really good.
And I try to say to myself that even if things don't pan out exactly the way I hope to this week, that's okay. Just be open to whatever solution comes after that.
All right, so we would phrase that just a little bit differently, and we would say this. As good as things are right now, I know they're going to be getting even better. And there may be, as I'm walking down this road, as I'm actually gliding down the river in my fabulously appointed canoe with soft cushions and wonderful music and all sorts of animal friends along the way, as I'm enjoying this downstream flow, there are going to be times when I look back upstream and think, maybe that's really where I want to go. And that's okay. It's okay that I'm going to do that because it's not that big of a deal. That's just an old habit that I have. And there are going to be times when I kind of bump up against the rocks and when I, particularly if this stream gets going faster and faster and faster, there are going to be times when it looks like I'm not actually going where I want to go. But I now remember that's temporary. I'm always going where I want to go. My job is to interpret my experience according to what I want, instead of according to what I think it means.
Okay. Good.
That's what we would really focus on. That any little hiccup, any little bump in the road is not the end of the world. It's just a slight change in course. And that it's for the best, because it's always for the best. Everything is always working out for me. Everything is always working out for me beautifully, beautifully, beautifully. So if it's not this, it's something better. That's where we would be focused.
Okay.
Take what, we love what you're doing. We love the allowing that you've got in there. That's really good. But there's still like little, just tiny, tiny fragrance of resignation going on there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sad kind of allowing, as opposed to joyful allowing. And resignation is not really where you want to go. Where you want to go is having more of what you're wanting, which is just that very powerful allowing. So anytime you're thinking those thoughts, well, it'll be okay. Not only will it be okay, it'll be amazing. And not only will it be amazing, it'll be fantastic. And not only will it be fantastic, it will just keep getting better and better from there. Do you understand this?
Yeah, this is great.
Very good. Very good. And we thank you very much for your very delicious question.
Okay.
I love the questions and answers for the first couple of calls on questions on this call. Mine feels like it's on theme. The idea I want to talk about is trust and integration. A couple of weeks ago, you encouraged me to find the next best feeling thought for short periods of time. And I've been doing that on and off to some success. I've been enjoying it, and I'm seeing things starting to shift. Just little things that may seem inconsequential but actually have a lot of meaning for me. So I'm finding artwork that would fit beautifully in the home that I want. I even came across a wall paint color that was just made me feel so happy. It's called Pharaoh's Gold, and it's just the right shade of what I want. The question I've got is, I'm seeing that I'm trusting in myself more and more as an integrated being doing this. The question that comes up is, I don't understand what the difference is between me as source, me as my higher self, me as the universe. And you have spoken about this, but I feel like there's something more here. So can you speak a bit on that?
Well, do you want us to speak about it within the context of what you're creating for yourself and what you're discovering and what you're wanting more of? Or do you want to speak about it in a more abstract way?
The first, because that feels more fun.
You are creating your reality. The reality, everything that you see with your physical eyes, and as you take your hands and you reach out and you touch something, and you run your fingers across the surface and it feels pebbly or it feels smooth or it feels sticky or tacky, whatever it is, you created that. Now, we're going to go really radical with this, and we're going to say you created the feeling, you created the experience and the materials, if you will, came together in such a way that's perfect for the experience that you're wanting. You learned how to do this from the people who are here in the physical plane. You did not come here knowing how to do it, other than in the sense that thoughts create reality. That you knew. So in a way, you could imagine that you created this little bubble. You created this little opening, a bubble surrounded by placenta that you got in. This is the idea of me, and I'm coming forth, and I'm powerfully coming in this right through here, through this tunnel. And I'm going to sit here for 9 months, and then I'm going to come down this chute. And then when I'm done there, they're going to cut the cord, and there I'm going to be. Now, when you were thinking about it, you weren't thinking about I am, I am, I am, like that. You were thinking, I'm going to have this point of reference, my body. which is an idea that I'm creating. And it's going to come through here, and these people are going to be involved, and these are the ones that I summoned forth, and they're going to teach me how to do this. You think, so in other words, education looks like, which is perfectly fine, but education looks like learning languages or memorizing dates or figuring out how to take the hypotenuse of a triangle. But in fact, the real education is what happens as soon as you get here, and even before then, as you're kind of flitting in and out of the womb. And then there you are, your consciousness comes forth into physical reality, and you suddenly are very aware in very, very powerful ways, not unexpected, but very powerful ways, of the what we might call kind of the crushing sense of limitation. Not in a negative way, but just this extremely powerful feeling that everything is being squeezed through, the entire universe is coming through a pinhole of light. And that's what physical experience is, this intense rush, powerful feelings, unheralded, powerfully, just unbelievably intense feelings. So, which is really great, and it's amazing, and it's awesome. And some people don't like it very much. And some people really like it. And some people are kind of on the fence, and they're not quite sure. But it doesn't really matter what anyone else is doing. What's really, really significant here is that you're aware of it, and you're aware that your amazing, astonishing ability to create reality is coming through this very narrow focus. Now, we could talk about inner being, higher self, we could talk about the Holy Spirit, we could talk about the superego, we could come up with hundreds of words to refer to the reference point that shows the brink of pure potential coming forth into form. Because that's really what it is. So for the purposes of this conversation, we'll talk about your higher self. Because it kind of gives a nice mix between the idea that it's you, but it's also not you. We've said before that your point of consciousness is like the tip of an arrow. And it's when wherever you turn is where the entire arrow turns. So when you look to the right, the arrow moves to the right. When you look to the left, the arrow moves to the left. So your physical reality is determined upon what you're looking at, what you're focused on, what you're desiring, what it is that you're wanting, what it is that you're allowing, and the mix thereof. And everything comes to that point, that narrow point, and it's very narrow. Now, from your narrow perspective, particularly considering what you have been taught and what the teachings are that float around you, that you summon to you, this thing that we call a very, very narrow arrow and very narrow opening from where we sit is actually tremendously huge from your perspective. And so if you think about how big everything is compared to your physical body, that's like talking about your entire physical universe is like a molecule inside another physical universe. That's the scope. That's what we're talking about. That's how huge it is. Your consciousness, that the arrow that's behind you, the shaft and the feathers and all that, that's all that is. All that is. But you are the version of all that is called by the name that you call yourself and identified through the physical body that you have chosen and constantly are recreating. And your physical experience is coming forth specifically because you have a very strong idea of who you are in relationship to all that is. And your physical reality is a match to that. Your physical reality supports the interpretations of the things that you're seeing, and it's a continuously self-perpetuating idea. which is good because it's nice that you don't sit there and think, oh, yeah, no, well, okay, copper conducts electricity, copper conducts electricity, copper conducts electricity. You're not sitting there thinking heartbeat, heartbeat, heartbeat. These are things that you started into motion, and they continue, they continue, they continue, they continue, they continue. Why we talk about the powerful, powerful idea of consistency and permanency. Those things are what is literally, they're like the sheath that surrounds the physical reality that keeps it going and keeps it continuously moving forward the way that it does. What's amazing here is that it's like you're on, from our perspective, it's like you're in the inside of an idea looking out, as opposed to being on the outside of an idea looking in. So from our perspective, your physical reality is a little bit like a snow globe. But from your perspective, the physical reality that you're in, is you're in the snow globe, and you're peering from that within place and looking out and saying, wow, this is amazing. So the next time that you are in a place where you can actually see the stars at night, you could do it during the day also, it's just that it's not quite, it doesn't have quite the same oomph. But when you can see the stars at night, literally reach up and realize that your consciousness, as you're reaching your hand up and you aim your consciousness at that star, you're there. Now, yes, the physics of your reality say that the light that you see, the little pinprick, well, that light is many years old. Could be hundreds of thousands of years old, but definitely at least 5 years old or four. And so you're just seeing the past when you look up at the stars. But they're reference points, and they're like anything else. If you aim your consciousness at them, you're there. Just like you're already in the house that you want. You're just, everything else that's going on around that has to do with you sorting out that idea.
I know I am. It's gathering momentum, and I can feel parallels with the journey I took with you last year with the wedding, where I can just feel things slotting into place. And the word that I want to use here is there's so much magic in this. I'm remembering times from the past where I cannot tell you logically how something happened. It was so incredibly magical. And there is the same sense here. And so for me, trusting in that integrated self feels like the magic of that snowstorm inside the glass bubble. I'm getting more and more of an understanding of why the journey is so incredibly amazing.
The thing that we really, really like about all of this, about what you've brought to the table here, about what all of you have brought to the table here in this conversation, and how this conversation is the leading edge of the leading edge. This is as far as we've ever gotten, which is, of course, it's always true. That there's nothing unique about us or you or this conversation in that way. This is as far as we've ever gotten. We've never gotten this far before. We've never arrived here. Because this is the very leading edge of the leading edge. This is literally where we're stepping over to the side and looking over and leaning into more and more of what we're wanting. Because we're just as much on this journey with you as you are. And that's part of our delight. But our delight, which of course is not conditional, we're not worrying that if you don't get this, we're not going to feel better. But our delight is that when you do get it, and as you do get it, and you begin to realize, wait a second, I really am this thing that you keep saying, that I really am the creator of my reality? Because we really love something you said just a moment ago, there's so many things that have happened that I can't tell you logically how they occurred. We would suggest that if you really spent an entire day trying to explain logically how everything is happening, in about 30 minutes, you would just give up. Because there is no way to explain logically how everything happens. If you trace things back to their beginnings, there will always come a point, always, where there was a spark that occurred that bridged the gap between one thing and another. And there's nothing that that does not apply to. Even if you understand how every single thing works from that physical, mechanical perspective, from that material perspective, even if you understand how everything works, there's always a point that you can trace back to where you realize there was a gap there, and that gap got crossed, and there's no reason why that gap should have been crossed. There's a blank spot there. There's an empty space. There's a void between where things were and then where they moved to. And there's no logical explanation for how that void got crossed. And everything in your experience is like that. Everything. So
For me, that gap that you mentioned, the void, that I've crossed through trust and trusting myself, not trusting my own wisdom, my own truth, my own feeling of what feels better for me. And that feels incredibly magical to do that, having come through a process of logical self-inquiry and wondering what was happening, to come to this place of actually it is trust.
It is trust. It is trust, but even we're going to even quibble with you just a little bit on that, and we're going to say trust is actually, how shall we say it? It's the effect word. Trust actually isn't the cause. Trust is the thing, and if you pay attention to in the moment what was happening, right in the moment when that gap got crossed, when it got bridged. At that moment, you weren't saying, wow, I'm really trusting. What you were saying, or our interpretation of the experience, would be something like, oh, well, this is exactly right. Trust is how you can explain it reflexively, looking at it as a thing that happened. But in the moment when it actually is occurring, it's just the obvious thing that is happening. The thing that is confounding from that perspective is that you can't plan for it. You can plan that it will happen, but you can't plan to make it happen. And that's the part that is either, it can be one of two things. It can either be completely confounding or it can be completely liberating. So we're very much enjoying this conversation with you. And we don't mean the physical words. We mean all of the juicy, 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 juicy stuff that's happening on a very non-physical level. On a very non-physical perspective.
Me too.
The image that we really enjoy here is something like this. A ship, a sailing ship on the ocean. But the ocean is not made of water. Each drop, instead of being water, is like a thought. And the wind and the sails that carry the ship forward are your intention, your desire. That's what directs everything. It's always your intention, always your intention. Always, 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 always. It's never anything else. It's what you expect will happen. It's what you think is going to happen. That's what happens. And particularly when you're thinking about how it's going to work with someone else, or how it's going to work with that device, or that experience, or that thing, or driving down that road. If you don't know what's going to happen, it's what you're guessing. Or what something we find just tremendously marvelous, tapping into what other people have experienced and kind of riding their wave with them. If it is something you've experienced before, it's you're just repeating that, but you never repeat it exactly the same way twice because you're never the same person, but you're using the past as a reference point. But the marvelous thing is that you don't have to rely on other people and you don't have to rely upon the past. You can decide right now, this is what I will have. And the one thing we want to leave you with, just a little morsel. It might feel like an arrow shot in the dark, but it's just a delicious, delicious morsel. The main reason why you do not have the house that you want right now is because you're being too polite about it.
What does that mean?
It means that it wouldn't be really nice, would it, for you to all of a sudden magically have a house that you want that came out of thin air? Because what about everyone else?
Okay.
Now, we said it might seem like a shot in the dark. But from our perspective, that's what we notice.
Okay. I'll reflect on that.
In other words, instant manifestation on really big ticket items is not that nice. People don't do that because it would embarrass everyone else. Now, you're not the only one who feels that way, by the way. And we're not just talking about the people down the street. We mean the people in these conversations, the people that you share this kind of way of thinking with, the people who understand that it's perfectly fine and not completely insane to talk with ghosts. Most of you are being very, very polite. You're trying to not be too much. You're trying to not be too intense or too powerful because it wouldn't be nice. It's not, what would your parents think? It would embarrass them. What about the woman who lives down the street, and what about your brother-in-law, and what about this one and that one and the other one? It just wouldn't be very nice. It's not nice to be an instant manifestor, to just snap your fingers, because what about everyone else?
I think this touches on the original question I had, which you have spoken about in this answer, which is what is the difference between me as an expression of source and me as the universe, and that feels a little overwhelming. Because to manifest this instantly, this powerfully, this on large ticket items, it's stepping into that place of me as my higher self, me as the universe, and that there is discomfort there for me.
Indeed. Because it's not, and we're laughing, well, we're not laughing, Frank is laughing, but we find it joyful to even be discussing this with you, because do you understand how far you have come in your own journey, not because there was some measurement or some grade that's being taken on you, but in your own journey compared to what you yourself are wanting, do you see how far you've come to be able to talk about this and say, you know, the real reason why we don't have a house is because it would upset Aunt Martha? That's a very powerful thing to notice because it's nice. We're not suggesting that it's a good reason or that you should stick with it. It's a really wonderful thing to realize that the reason why you are holding back something from yourself is because you do not want to hold it back from someone else. And it puts you in a place vibrationally, which is actually the wrong way of saying it. Let us say it this way. It's a recognition of where you are vibrationally in regards to this topic. That when you get down to the point where you're saying, the reason why I'm doing it is because it would upset the neighbors if I did it otherwise, you're not very far away from where you want to be. And yes, you can feel the power. When we were talking before about how your physical reality is like light coming through a pinhole, when you realize the pinhole is completely artificial and is completely unnecessary and it's just a reference point and you're not going to die, you're just going to move on to something else. And even that, you're not really even going to do, not in that way of thinking about going to China, which is a nice way of thinking about it to start off with. But you're just here because you want to be here. And hold on to your hat, because we're going to go even a little bit further than that, and we're going to say this. You come and you go. You're not here. You're not here nearly as permanently as you think you are. You come and you go. You flit in and out of this consciousness, of the idea of the name by which you call yourself. You go in, you go out, you go in, you go out. You're here sometimes. You're really here sometimes. You're not here that much. You think you might think you're stuck here for the duration until you croak, but that's not really what happens. You flit in and flit out. You flit in and flit out. When you go to sleep, that's the point where it seems pretty obvious. I'm not really there. My body's kind of in maintenance mode. It's taking care of itself. I'm off doing something else and having a really wonderful time doing it, and then I'm going to come back here. But that's not, that sense of continuity along a timeline is just a construct. That's just how you organize your experience. But there's nothing permanent at all to it. So, having thrown out that little juicy morsel, we're going to bring our conversation here to a close. Are you feeling complete with your question here today?
Thank you so much.
Indeed. We thank you very, very much, very much indeed, for all that you have brought here to the table today. And so what we want to say to each of you is this, that we have found ourselves once again quite pleased and quite honored to be connecting with you in all of the ways that we've been doing so here today. And we are very much looking forward to the next time that we are able to do so again. And until that very delicious and very wonderful time, we do bid you all a very fond farewell.